All right, if you have your Bibles, let's turn this more into Acts. Well, you can write down Acts 16, just to me recap some of these verses. I'm going to recap Acts 17, verse 6. It says, "And when they found them, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, 'These men have turned the world upside down, have come hither also.'" I love this passage in Acts 17:6, because when you think of this comment that those who've turned the world upside down, you think of somebody upending something. You know, when we have lots and lots of gatherings at our house, and you know, we have our drink fridge in the garage, and you know, for some reason, little kids love to grab a big bottle. We have little bottles of water for the kids, you know what I mean? Because they'll take a sip and then they'll leave it. You know what I mean? So we buy the little bottles for the kids and the big bottles for the grown-ups. And so, man, but when after the day is done, you'll find a half Dr. Pepper, a half a Pepsi. You'll find literally they popped the top, took a sip, and it's sitting right here. And so, you know, you don't want to put heavy cans or heavy drinks in the trash bag. And so you upend it, right? And you dump it all out. And then now it changes. It goes from light, from heavy to light, from solid to easy to crush the can or the bottle, and you can throw it away. So things change when they're upended. Is that right? Things change when they're turned upside down. You see, God wants to turn you and me upside down, because what that does is it dumps out us so that now he can pour in him. We all have stuff to get dumped out so that he can pour in. The problem is, a lot of times when we're trying to figure out what's wrong with us, I'll tell you, it's easier not to try to figure out what's wrong with us. It's easier to just pursue God, and he will begin to show you little things here and there, little jagged edges that need sharpening. Because when God shows you things in our lives that need to be fixed, he'll also give you the ability and the grace to fix it. We had a friend that basically was an alcoholic. And we loved this person, and we wanted the best. And Keys and I were like, man, we really feel like we need to talk to her. Because she loves God and wanted to do what's right and was growing. And we felt like that was hindering her growth. But we just did not have the release. Now, religion would have said, Michael, you should have just went over there and just said something. Well, there are times where the Lord will deal with me to say something, and sometimes the Lord will not. Now, you know, I'm not a pastor. My fivefold ministry calling encompasses pastor, but that's not just it. So that's why my ministry calling is not just being there. That's why my calling is sometimes get it straight. What's wrong? Okay, so in the house, I'm more pastorly, okay? When I'm outside the house, that's when the apostolic comes in. And so it's just wonderful. I love the different callings God has for you. Anyhow, all that being said, so we didn't say anything, but we prayed because we love this individual. And then maybe 4 or 5 months later, we just been so busy we didn't get to hook up. We hooked up with this person again, and they said, you know, the Lord spoke to me. I forgot how they put it. The Lord spoke to me to stop drinking. And so Keys and I were just like, how'd this happen? And so, of course, they mentioned what was going on. And I thought, wow, they hadn't had a drink in months. And now we're in years already. And all it was very simple was this. No one was telling them this. They weren't feeling guilty about something. They were just in love with Jesus. And they were ready to do anything Jesus said to do. And all of a sudden, because they were getting closer, the Lord said, you know what? I think you need to do this. And anytime God says something to you, the power to do it is in the Word. The power to do what God says comes when he says to do it. All right, so back to this right here. So, turn the world upside down. God wants to turn us upside down. But the reason why is so he can empty us out so he can refill us. Now, what's he going to refill it? We'll talk about that. You can write down 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Into his marvelous light. Everyone say light. The Bible talks about believers being the light of the world. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill. What is significant about that statement, a city on a hill? Well, when there is a city on a hill, you can see it from miles away. You know, you look at some of the castles and some of the palaces over in Eastern Europe. They built them on hills. They built them on edifices way up high. And so you can see them from miles and miles away. There is a castle on kind of an island. Well, it's an island at high tide. It's not an island at low tide, off the coast of France, called Mount St. Michael. And it's a castle on this giant, I call it a rock. I guess it's a tiny, tiny hill out in the ocean. But you can see it from miles away because it's high. And so when something is high, it stands out. Why are there stages, platforms at concerts so that individual can stand out and you can see him better, okay? Well, the Bible tells us that you and I are a city on a hill. The church, the kingdom, is supposed to be a city on a hill, something that stands out, not something that blends in. I have he comes and does stuff at our house, but he was a former Army Ranger in the late 70s, early 80s. I believe late 70s is when he actually retired. And during that time, that was Cold War time, okay? And so we were chit-chatting. He was at the house one day, and we were talking about some of his different things. I mean, really interesting guy. And he was talking about, we're talking about cold weather. And he said, well, you know, the coldest I remember was in Siberia back in 1970-something. And I'm like, wait. I said, that was Cold War. What was a ranger doing in Russia, in Siberia, during the Cold War? He said, it wasn't a ranger situation. It was a CIA situation. I'm like, wait a minute. And so basically he was telling me, you know, they were supposed to be there on a 3-day, basically intelligence gathering thing. Wound up being 7 days there. And he was just telling me how they had to blend in. They had all their stuff was white. They literally dug into the ground, into the snow, and made a place to live there in the snow. And they just talked about how they were trained to blend in. Well, you know, I understand blending in. I understand camouflage. Max and I were watching a History Channel documentary on a guy named Jasper Musculin, who was a British magician, a second-generation magician during World War II, and he wanted to do something in the war. And, of course, you know, high command was like, what can you do? Well, it wound up being a major asset in several theaters, and he actually helped in D-Day, but he made a bunch of counterfeit things and just a lot of illusions that literally tricked the Germans. It was wild stuff, I mean, weird stuff. But again, helped people to blend in, helped tanks and jeeps to blend in, helped a city to blend in. It was just wild stuff. But you and I aren't supposed to be like that. The kingdom is not like that. The kingdom of God is supposed to stand out. The Bible says a light of the world. So in other words, you and I are, I hate to say this, we're supposed to be just a hair louder. We're supposed to smile just a little bigger. We're supposed to have more answers. You know, it seems like all of a sudden the world is going backwards now with all the corona stuff. And, you know, we're talking this morning about France and all these other countries shutting down and now some of the states are going backwards, I guess you can say. Well, here's the thing. If you and I know the answer and we have the answer, we probably should be a little bit more loud about the answer. Now, I know people say, well, you know, Christians, y'all need to just keep your mouth shut about what you believe. Listen, find that in the Bible. I mean, the Lord's been, since April, the Lord's been dealing with us about being more bold. And I'm glad. Matter of fact, you know, I told you before how, you know, I've got one family who thinks I'm a cult because I'm a little bit more bold. I'm happy about that because that lets me know I'm obeying God. That lets me know I am obeying God. You see, us believers, we blended in, looked just like everybody else for so long. We've looked just like, but this here says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a peculiar person. All right. A peculiar person who should show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so if we're light, we should look a little different. Now see, religion taught this way. Oh, well, you got to dress a little bit different. You got to act a little bit different. Listen, it's not about your dress. You know, you ain't got to, you know what I'm talking about. Religion had made you had to dress drab and you know, you couldn't dress fashionable. Now, I'm not into fashion, so I just, that's out of my ballpark. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it should come out in the way we live. I heard it this way. There was an interview with a Navy SEAL, a man who had retired after 20-something years on the SEAL team, and he was making a comment about SEAL members and former SEAL members. He said, no matter where I go in the U.S., he said, if I'm traveling or whatnot, he said, I can tell when an individual has been a part of some sort of special operations in the military. And he said, very simple, there is a way they walk. There is a way they stand. And I thought, wow, that is very interesting that they can tell by the way a person stands and a way a person walks. What is that? Of course, he said there is a confidence that they have. There is a motivation. Everyone say motivation. When you hear people discuss character traits of special operations in the military, they always use the term motivated. They are highly motivated individuals. I've got a friend on the SWAT team for the Mesquite Police Department, and you ask him and he'll tell you they are very motivated individuals. I did pre-marriage counseling and gave away a bride one time for one of the SWAT team members for the Greenville Police Department here in Greenville, Texas. And he was a highly motivated individual. You know what? People should be able to tell if we are highly motivated. When we walk into a place, when we talk, I used to be kind of on the shy side, believe it or not. Because I was insecure. I didn't like lots about myself. Now, you got to understand, there still are many things I prefer not about myself, okay? But I'm learning that if I allow God to upend me, to turn my life upside down, I really don't care about the things of myself or my quirkiness. And all that kind of, you know, we all got stuff we don't like. We all got things that, you know, one of the reasons why, we don't do certain things is because we're embarrassed. My kids the other day, I think I was just being stupid, and they were like, Dad, do you ever get embarrassed? I embarrass them all the time. I might walk into their classroom, you know, multiple times a day during a break. I don't mess up their class or anything. But if I happen to be up there, I'll walk in and just say something so goofy that my kids will roll their eyes, and all the other kids are like, oh, that's hilarious. And so I just don't care. So finally they asked the other day, Dad, do you ever get embarrassed? And I told them, I said, no, I don't really get embarrassed. I said, I embarrass myself plenty. It just didn't matter. Listen, I have no shame. Let's just put it that way. Dignity, what is dignity? What is dignity? Because there are times where I'm going to have to come against that dignity and go against the shame of my raisin or the lack thereof, and do something God has called us to do. We had a prayer walk at our school a week before last, and our administrator messaged me and asked me if I would lead the prayer walk. And before we got on to get on the intercom and give direction and just share a few things. And so sure enough, I got on the intercom, and we have a couple other pastors at our school, and it's just kind of one of those things where, you know what, I'm going to do what I know to do, what works. And so I got up and I prayed a couple scriptures and quoted some things and spoke some things, and then I led the prayer walk and I started speaking God's word boldly. And so my guys, my students were behind me and beside me, and so the other day, this week when I was teaching my Bible class, I was talking about the scriptures that my kids and I quote every single day when we pull out of the driveway. And they said, yeah, Mr. Moon, I remember you were saying that when we were doing a prayer walk. And I thought, you know what? I'm glad they heard me when I prayed, because I told them in Isaiah 43 where God said, remind me of my word. And people say, remind God. Hey, listen, I don't understand it either. But if he said remind him, I'm going to remind him. And so what I'm saying is we've got to be bold. I went to Atwoods a couple weeks ago to buy some stuff. And I told the guy I was a pastor. We chit-chatted. We talked. He's one of the leadership teams at a cowboy church in Greenville. But his church was shut down, so he was going to that church up in your area, that cowboy church up there in Fairley. Is that what it is? And so, anyway, so we were chit-chatting, had a great time, and so it's been about a month, maybe 2 months since I see him, and I walked back in the other day, I had to go get some cat food, and walk in there, he remembered me. Man, we got up and talked, we were talking about Jesus right in the middle of everybody in the store and didn't care, and, you know, it just, we got to get to a point where our life is upended. You know, what has happened to us to where we feel less than, and so because we feel less than, we don't do what God's called us to do. Well, God, you know, I've been in pain this week, my shoulder's been hurting, or my leg. I just really can't do nothing for you this week. Listen, if we would stop concerning ourselves with ourselves and begin to seek first the kingdom of God, you know, there's some things that will be added to us. Just added to us. Think about that. That's even a scripture, isn't it? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to us. This rose up in my spirit the other day. I heard someone that was 13 years younger than me, say something about feeling old, and I almost said this, but I knew I wasn't supposed to say it on Facebook, but it rose up in me. I have to watch that. It rose up in me, if you're feeling old at 30-something years old, it's because you have no kingdom vision. If I feel old at 70 years old, I lost my kingdom vision. If I feel old at 88 years old, I lost my kingdom vision. Let's talk about a man named Joshua, 80-something years old, and had been dealing with a bunch of whining, complaining church members. I mean, children of Israel. Children of Israel for 40 years, and then all of a sudden, it comes up where God says to go in, take the land, and he says, I'm as able now as I was then. Why could he say that? Because he still valued the vision of God. He still valued the plan of God. And the plan of God hasn't ended yet. And it's not going to end until you and I get checked out of the world and we are good to go. Listen, what I'm saying is this, is that God wants to do something so powerful in our lives that it upends us, it shocks us to an awesome degree, and we come out of our shell and we become something we never dreamed we can become. Listen, you have to realize that the God of the universe lives on the inside of us, and he's not boring. I told a group this the other day. I said, listen, I don't like boring. I said, there's times where I need some boring just to rest, but I love to go, go, go. Me and the kids were talking the other day. I was telling them, I forgot what we were talking about. We're talking about vacations or something. Oh, yeah, because I saw an email that cruise lines have just been released to open again. And so I'm like, yes. And so I was telling the kids and I told them, I said, Daddy needs a cruise because that's the only time I really get a vacation. And they're like, what do you mean? Don't we go to Belize and all that stuff? And they're like, oh, you mean where you don't have to do a whole lot? And I said, they said, well, I guess you don't get a vacation. I said, listen, it's not that I need a vacation. When I go to Belize, when I'm ministering, it's what I love to do. So I'm having a great time. But there's a lot of times where I'll pull off to study and pray and prepare for a meeting. So I have to leave the kids for 3, 4, 5 hours sometimes. And so, you know, and then go minister. Now, again, I have never been, oh, my gosh, I've not had a vacation in so long. And that's why I don't understand sabbaticals. You know, 2-week vacation here, whatever, I get that. But that's what I never could understand. You know, anyway, what I'm saying today is very simply this. God wants to do some upending and some rearranging. He wants so much in us. Matter of fact, let's turn a couple of verses this morning. I want to show you this right here. Let's go to Psalms 139, verse 14. Psalms 139. Oh, I have to get to this verse at least. Psalms 139. I love when people will post beautiful pictures of their sunsets. You know, this week with the full moon, a lot of people were posting cool pictures of the full moon, and you know, in the morning when it's still there, and you could see it, and just, you know, real pretty stuff. And you live out in the country, you get lots of pretty views. I mean, it is just wonderful. When you look, our house, the front faces kind of the east southeast, and so when you look out our front window through the pecan trees over toward this pasture, it's just beautiful. The sunrise is just gorgeous, straight out through there. And in the evening, and you look to the back of the house as it's setting, and you see the horses and the cows back there, and the beautiful trees and the pasture. It's just beautiful. I love it. Okay, and so people will talk about, oh, isn't God's you know, God's a wonderful artist, and that's great. I agree. God is phenomenal. Man, somebody did something, posted some beautiful pictures of the ocean the other day and where they were on vacation, and I just think it's phenomenal. But let's not limit God to nature. Let's not limit God to what he can do with a sunrise and a mountain view. And, you know, this week it snowed all over the country. And don't limit God to just what he can do with a snow-capped mountain or a snow-filled valley, because it goes way, way. And that's supernatural and that's cool and stuff. But that doesn't help people out like God wants to help people out. So watch this. Psalms 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, y'all know this is the verse that we use when it comes to anti-abortion, and, you know, that God knows us. And, you know, we know Isaiah says he knew us while we were in our mother's womb. But this is talking about how we're made. This is a verse that God was impressing on my heart really toward the beginning of the year. I want to say February, before the corona stuff hit in March. This was going, and I just thought it was so strange that this verse, you know, you hear this verse all your life, but for some reason that would arise up. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully. The word fearfully here means to inspire reverence and godly awe. Inspire reverence and godly awe. It means to cause astonishment and awe. It means honor, respect. It means to stand in awe. So in other words, David says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, with godly awe and reverence, astonishment, respect, and wonder. That's how I am made. Now, if you look at every human, you can get used to every common human and say, well, you know, I mean, yeah, the body's intricate and everybody's different. We look different. We different sizes, hair color, eye color. That's, you know, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. That is not the point that it's making. Let's continue to the next word. The word wonderfully. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The word wonderfully means distinct. It means set apart. It means different. And it means amazingly constructed. It means distinct. So you and I are distinct. We are set apart. We know that word, the word sanctified means set apart. You and I are set apart for distinct things. We are set apart by godly inspiration in an awesome way. We are set apart. We are different. We are amazingly constructed for very precise things. You know, as a teenager, I recognized the call of God in my life when I was 13 years old. I had a youth pastor. I thought, well, you know, I had this dream of youth ministry, and I was a youth pastor for many, many years, was in youth ministry for many, many years, and it was great. I thought, well, that's just wonderful. And because of what was modeled to me, I thought that's all I was going to do. Okay, so a lot of times you see youth pastors, you see this people or somebody doing something common to you, and that's all you know, and so you kind of think, well, you know, that's what I'll do, that's what I'll be. It's great that we see an outside vision or an outside model of something, but God wants to give you details to make you different. He wants to give you some distinction, some set apart to make you different. Now, it doesn't go against the Word of God. So when we're different, we may look different, act different, whatever, but at the same time, it doesn't go against the Word of God. So back to this right here. It says, you are distinct, you are set apart and wonderfully. This is the New Living Translation. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Now, what am I saying here? Because we saw earlier that God will turn us upside down. We saw in 1 Peter 2 that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And now we're seeing that we are distinctly set apart. That's why, you know, for us as humans, we have to embrace our differences in thinking, our differences in color and size and opinion. Man, there are just so many differences that make us weird, strange, unique, but when it all comes together, it brings a balance, and that balance causes unity, and that unity causes focus, and that focus will bring the glory of God in a greater way to upend our lives. So watch this right here. What am I saying? These verses are talking about how unique you are. These verses are talking about how special and distinct you are. But my question is this. Is it only distinct and special in a natural way so that we can say, oh, well, your hair is better than mine, and oh, but that's so awesome. I'm going to celebrate your hair, and your skin, you got great skin, and oh, you just love your this and love your that. Is it only natural things? Or is there something God wants us to get deeper with, and that is the distinct anointings and callings that God has for each and every one of our lives? You can't say that with the power of heaven, remember we read this, Romans chapter 8, verse 11 last week, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will make alive your mortal bodies. If dead raising power, listen, Jesus dead. There is no dead like Jesus did, because all the sin, sickness, and poverty of the world was placed on him. You'll never experience, I don't care how you die, you'll never experience that kind of death. Never, nobody ever will, that kind of death that had that kind of dead raising power. Okay? And so what I'm saying is this, if you have that kind of power on the inside of you, you and I weren't called to just be naturally unique. You and I were called to be supernaturally different, supernaturally distinct, supernaturally unique, supernaturally peculiar. You say, well, that's not my personality, and I was raised this way. That's great. That's wonderful that we recognize our raising and how we are, and God is not trying to tell you to change. He's not trying to tell me to change. What God is telling each and every one of us is, hey, you just pursue me and watch what I'll do in and through you. You see, God wants to take our lives, and He wants to use us in such a way that people say, wow, that's not the you I remember. Wow, what happened to you? Or man alive. You know, I love, you know, y'all know I like to tell Chris stories all the time. But think about this. If y'all heard some of his stories, think about this. The man grew up in Wolf City all of his life. So they know the old Chris. But Chris, what do they think about that new guy? They're astounded when they know the new Chris. Yeah. Listen, what I'm saying is this. God wants some major transformation in our lives. But listen, He wants to do it. He wants to do it, and all He wants us to do is submit to Him, get past ourselves, and let God upend our lives. Let's stand. Several years ago, Chris and I were at the IHOP in Greenville, and I saw one of my neighbors from down the street in Quinlan where we lived, and he pastors a cowboy church there in Greenville, and I said, oh, I seen there's so-and-so over there. Let me go say something to him. Let me go say hi. So I walked over and shook his hand and just, you know, said hi to him and whatnot, and came back over and sat there with Chris, and Chris says, hey, is that so-and-so? And I said, yeah. He said, really? He said, we used to, I said, yeah, he pastors the church over there at Top Rail, is that what it is? One of the cowboy churches there in Greenville. And he said, pastors the church? Weren't y'all drinking buddies? They were drinking buddies back in the day. And so they went over there, and then Chris walked over there and said hi to him.
Well, the club that they used to drink at was the old Horseman's Club in Greenville, which is now a church that this guy pastors. And so it was just so cool. And then the last Sunday before the shutdown in March, we were in Greenville at the Mariachi Mexican restaurant, and we ran into him again up there. And so, listen, it's just the most awesome thing when people look and they say, man, you're just night and day. Now, listen, there's also an awesome thing when people can say, you know, your faith has not changed since you were young or this or that. You're still as excited or you're still this or you know. So there's a good side to that also. But what I'm saying is let's let God put a mark on our lives. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you that you have a desire to do great and mighty things through natural human beings. Lord, it's your supernatural that's on our natural that you're wanting to employ. And Father, the days of mechanics laying hands on the sick and recovering, and Father, ranchers stopping hailstorms, Father, and trash men laying hands on people at accidents and bringing them back to life, Lord, those are days of today. And Father, no matter how we see ourselves, Lord, we've got to see ourselves the way you do. You don't see just a regular occupation. You see a person who has given themselves wholly to you so that you can do something mighty with. And so, Father, no matter where we've come from, no matter what we've been through, we recognize you want to do some distinct, some magnificent things in and through our lives. And so this morning, we make the choice to give you entrance and give you first place. And Father, today, as you begin to open our eyes and open our ears to what your plan and your will is, God, we don't understand everything that you've done. We don't understand everything that you're doing. But what we do know is we know that we were created for more than this. And so this morning, Father, we choose to submit ourselves to you. We choose to give you our all. And no matter who it separates us from or who it associates us with, we are going forward with you in the authority of Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, there are some things that God wants to do in and through us. And a lot of times, we try to fix ourselves. Sometimes we have a little bit of self-righteousness. Sometimes we have we have condemnation. Neither one of those is good. But what I hear the Lord just impressing on my heart this morning is this, is all he wants is you. All he wants is you. And you see, God did not choose you and I because we were super perfect. He chooses people because they are available. And you have to admit that the greatness of God will start showing up and doing greater things that prove God if we'll just let him flow through us. God is wanting to flow through us. If you desire greater things in and through your life, I believe it's time for that to happen. And so I'm going to ask you, we'll just all pray this prayer this morning because I believe we're at a new place. Now listen, there's a season that started not too long ago, and there are some things that God began before the corona stuff happened. The corona stuff is a response of the enemy to what God initiated beforehand. The enemy always has a response. Remember, the Bible says that when the word goes forth, the enemy goes to steal the word of God. That's all this stuff is. It's the enemy's response to the plan of God. Corona is not the plan of God, it's the enemy's response. And so this morning, if your desire is for more of God, for things in your life to begin to show and produce supernatural results, I'm just going to ask you to pray this prayer with me
And let's just believe together. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the normal life that I've lived so far. But I recognize I was not created. I wasn't foreordained. It never was your plan for me to live a normal life. But Father, I recognize you've created me to be vastly different, to be publicly unique, to be distinct, set apart, like a city on a hill that can be seen for miles. Lord, that sounds scary sometimes, but I just don't care. Use me, Lord. I give myself to you. I submit myself to you. I offer myself to you. You show me areas of my life to begin to adjust and make course corrections. I will follow your Spirit into greater mighty things. And Father, as you use me, as you empower me, my life will be blessed. But more than that, you'll use me to bless others. Father, I thank you for choosing me to display all the power of the God of heaven on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.